Good morning, church.
Good morning.
It is wonderful to see so many smiling and wonderful faces with us in worship today as we get to celebrate Ascension Sunday. As Christ rose to heaven and was welcomed home, we remember that we are all welcomed in the eyes of God in this place, in this worship. We also welcome our online worshipers at this time as well. A few announcements before we get started. The order of worship can be found on scmchurch.org or in your weekly email. We attach the bulletin to that as well. So if you want to follow along, we also have our slides going as well. Our countywide Sunday school continue this Sunday online on Zoom from 4 to 5. We wanted to share that reminder because we took a breather for Mother's Day, but the kids are back at it this week. A lot of great programming is going on in those classes, so we hope our kids get the chance to participate. I also want to make note that next Sunday is Pentecost, so we will have Holy Communion and worship, just so you're aware of that. That will be part of worship next week. And then a wider provincial note to share with you is that MISMIC, Mid-States Youth Moravian Camping, made a difficult but wise decision this past week to cancel Tar Hollow and Camp Bethany in 2021 this summer. It was definitely a decision made with heavy hearts, but we want to remind our kids to please pay attention for some alternative plans for our kids and that our youth that are already in the works. I can't share anything with you yet, but there are going to be some opportunities for our kids to have some fun this summer and do some of those wonderful activities they enjoy, including our very own Vacation Bible School. That will be on this summer, so we're excited about that. Once again, a big thank you to all who supported Food on the Fly this past week. Another month of sellouts, which is becoming pretty consistent for our crew, and I just want to continue to thank all of you who help and support that ministry. Sweep the Streets is also back on as Dover Canal Days will be celebrated. Please contact Floyd or Delene if you're interested in helping. Any night you can help for that is really appreciated. All hands on deck are needed for that. VBS will have a planning meeting next Monday at 7 p.m. on Zoom. You do not need to be a member of CEC if you're interested in being a part of the planning committee, but contact Carolyn or I or somebody else from that committee beforehand to let us know and we can get you all the Zoom information and that. But we are excited to have something in place for our kids this summer. We'll get some dates out as we have that further planned. Also, for those serving on our Eastern District Synod, our free synod meeting will be next Sunday at 6:30. Our elders will be meeting tomorrow night at 7 p.m. And then just another reminder, the special synod by the PEC has been called. That will be on Saturday, July 10th from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. to discuss a relationship between Moravian Theological Seminary and Lancaster Seminary. We have already, as a joint board, exercised the authority given to us by the PEC, and we have named delegates for that. So we ask that you not only keep our Eastern District Synod in prayer this summer, but also this special synod as we kind of discern the future of theological education in our church. And then the last thing I want to share with you is we've gotten a lot of new information from the CDC this month about masks and when you should wear a mask and when you shouldn't wear a mask. Right now, we're still trying to be cautious in our worship setting. What I can promise you at this time is the joint board has not set a date or anything looking at when masks will be optional, but I can say this is not going to be a forever thing, that we're looking at some point at the end of summer, early fall, where hopefully we can get to that point. Maybe sooner, maybe later. We all know in this pandemic a lot of flexibility is required, but we thank all of you for continuing to be vigilant and wearing your mask right now. I know all of us are ready to be at a point where we can just rip them off and be done with them, and that's easy for the guy who doesn't wear a mask up front to say, but it's important that we keep taking care of one another, and I appreciate your patience on a subject that I know it's hard for some of us to be patient with. So thank you for doing your best to love your neighbor in these circumstances. That's all I have for announcements at this time. Our watchword, or excuse me, let us please stand and extend the right wave of fellowship. One step ahead of you. Good morning. You may be seated. Our watchword this week comes from John chapter 17, verse 17. Jesus said, "Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth." Amen. We are very fortunate that we have Jacob and Chloe who will be our cantors this month. And once again, we get to hear some wonderful songs of praise and worship. Once again, there's two hymns in this liturgy. One is an Alleluia that Angie will play on the organ, and the other is Sing Hallelujah, Praise the Lord, which of course as Moravians we are legally required to sing, so Jacob and Chloe are going to sing that song for us as well. So let us take this opportunity to pray together the liturgy of Easter.
We have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life.
For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his.
We do not live to ourselves, and we do not die to ourselves. If we live, it is for the Lord that we live, and if we die, it is for the Lord that we die. We do not want you to be in any doubt about those who have died or to grieve over them as others do who have no hope.
For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so is Jesus God raising him from those who have died.
What we are saying, brothers and sisters, is this: flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God.
Nor does the perishable inherit.
What is sown as perishable
is raised imperishable.
What is sown in dishonor
is raised in glory.
What is sown in weakness
is raised in power.
What is sown in a physical body
is raised in a spiritual body.
Then the saying that is written will be fulfilled. Death has been swallowed up in victory.
Thanks be to God who gives us the victory.
If you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are of the earth.
For we have died, and our lives are hidden with Christ in God.
God of peace, who brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant.
Make us complete in everything good, so that we may do your will, working on us all that is pleasing in thy sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Please rise.
My shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Our second reading is John 17, verses 6 through 19. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and the glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I'm coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by the name that you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that Scripture will be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the word has hated them, for they are not of the world of any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is the truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified.
Amen. At this time, we turn our time and our attention to a time of prayer. We want to remind you that we have many concerns that we will share with those of you who are present with us in the congregation on our slides. Those of you who are joining us virtually, please remember we send out our weekly prayer chain as well, and also take some reflective prayer time to meditate as we listen to music during this time as well. A lot of people who have undergone surgeries this past week, people who are recovering from broken bones, people who are going into nursing home this week, and we remember each and every one of them in our prayers, and we uplift them and care for them and know that God is doing the same. I do want to share with you a list of prayers of joys that I can share with you this week, many to celebrate as we start to look to the summertime. The first one I want to share with you is congratulations to Katie Raves, who was able to walk as a graduate from Kent State University this past week. She actually graduated in December, but was able to participate in the ceremony this past week. So we celebrate with her and offer prayers for her future endeavors as well. We also rejoice with Chloe Martin, who was awarded a scholarship from the Tuscarawas Art Partnership Fund, and we want to celebrate with her and also give thanks for her participation in her last talent show with the Indian Valley Choir, and she did a wonderful job. We were there for that as well, and so we're grateful for all our youth who continue to exceed and excel. And that brings two others. Mitch and Sharon's granddaughter Haley Heedlin was a 4x100 relay champion for Claymont, so she's going on to sectionals, so we celebrate with her and look forward to her future accomplishments as well. And then I wanted to make recognition of Don and Becky's granddaughter, Mallory Norman, who is, as a seventh grader, awarded the Barbara Haynes Award by the Dover Band Boosters. And then in the wider church today, we give thanks for Charlie McDonald, who was ordained yesterday at his home congregation out east. I think he's from Edgeboro, but he was ordained at Emmaus for locations. He will be serving the church in Minnesota. So we're always grateful when kids finally, I did this 4 years ago, when someone is able to graduate and get to the point where they can serve the church, and the wider church is especially beneficial, and we look forward to his ministry that will happen in Minnesota as well. And then the last thing I want to mention is birthdays and anniversaries. Today, Danielle Rossi is celebrating her birthdays, and then three anniversaries, Steve and Jackie and Tim and Linda, who both celebrated their anniversary on this past Monday, and then Joe and Cheryl Bahari, who will celebrate on Tuesday. So a lot to be grateful for. And I think when we're in the midst of this struggle, I think hearing the litanies of joys and praise in our life is a good reminder that it's not all pandemic, it's not all bad stuff. There's a lot of stuff, good stuff, that is happening in our lives and our world. So let us take some time to reflect, to pray, and to meditate on both our joys and our concerns.
Thank you.
let us come to God in prayer. Gracious God, help us to open our hearts and to open our ears and to open our minds to how you are working, how you are speaking to us, and how you are reminding us that you are an active and present God. Today we heard one of the most popular passages of Scripture, the 23rd Psalm, which reminds us that you are the shepherd. Help us to be your sheep. Help us to seek you and to follow you. Help us to find our meaning and our purpose and our ability to serve our wonderful shepherd. And we come before you with many concerns and joys on our hearts. Gracious God, as we look on the names on our screen and the names on our prayer chain, help us to remember that you are with every single person, not just those who are undergoing surgeries, test results, anxious about the future, struggling with mental illness, struggling with finding purpose, struggling with finding roots in their life, but you are with each and every one of us in the joys, in the concerns, and in the sorrow. So help us to pay attention. Help us to give thanks. Help us to rejoice. And when we hear this message of truth, may we proclaim it and live it. And as we feel this beautiful day, help us to be grateful, to just take some time to say thank you. Feel the sunshine, feel the wind in our hair, and know that it isn't an accident. It is because you, God, created the most beautiful day and the most beautiful world, and you have gifted it to each and every one of us. And we are so grateful for that. In your blessed and gracious name we pray. Amen. In our offerings, we once again want to give thanks to everyone who continues to give online. There's also an offering plate in back for people who prefer to still do that in person. And we just want to remember and be grateful for the stewardship we have, because each and every one of us has been given an abundance of resources. And out of that abundance, we are able to give back to God and to our neighbor. So at this time, we will give gratitude out of that. So may you please rise as we listen to the offertory hymn. Together the prayer of dedication. Gracious Shepherd, we are grateful for your guidance in our lives. Help us to listen to your merciful voice and follow in your compassionate ways. Amen. You may be seated. At this time, we're going to turn our time and our attention to our children's chat. We're doing things a little out of order this month. Pastor Ben was a little busy at the beginning of the month and forgot that this May 2nd was a Youth Sunday. So we've rescheduled it for today. So kids, if you have any toys or items or objects at this time, can you get them out for me and put them in the air, I guess. All right. So for those of you that haven't joined us, I apologize. Those of you that are online, you may not be able to see, but I'll try to say some of the objects that we see. What we do for Youth Sunday is kids bring items, and I have to build our children's chat based on the lesson and the objects they bring, so that the children's chat can go in a lot of different directions very quickly, and we do our best to have some fun with it. But today we're talking about the Lord is my shepherd. And what I like about that, one of my favorite scriptures, a lot of people's favorite scripture, is the 23rd Psalm, is it reminds us that the Lord speaks to us in many different ways. And it can be a very unique thing. So I'm going to start with Rylan, who's got a little Minecraft toy back there. And I think that's important to remember, because in Minecraft, what you're doing is you're building stuff up. You're looking at things in new directions and trying to build it up. And sometimes we need to see God in different ways and different shapes to understand who God is. Like, for example, Aubrey's got her baseball glove back there. She's got a beautiful baseball mitt. For me, if I saw God as my catcher's mitt, that would be a wonderful metaphor and illustration for me. I would have tears on my eyes because I love baseball. But for other people, whatever. You like baseball, good for you. Wouldn't be as important. So when we think about it, when Nick's got his pen, we have to write something down that is important for us so we can bloom and blossom like a flower, as Jacob points out for us. I think that, what is it? Oh, okay, that's not what I saw. So we'll go with flower. And an eye exam maybe for me too. We'll see what's going on. Oh, Tyler brought his guitar, so we need to sing our praises for God. We talked about that last week, the importance of friendship and the development with that, to see God as a friend. And Tyler is going to be one that reminds us later today just how important friendship can be. And then Reese has got a nice Barbie doll right there. Let me see that, Reese. And she is ready to go. She's excited. She's tuned up. And I think it's important to remember that God can reach everybody in their place, no matter where they walk, no matter what they're doing. I don't know. Brandon's got a sign there. Peyton's got his phone, though. But we need to amplify that message. And let's see what Paige has. She has a frog and a tiger. Ooh. I don't know how I'm going to merge those two together. I might need a second on that. But let's just say, when we look at the Lord is like a tiger, he can be fierce, he can be protective of us, he can take care of us. And like a frog, I guess, as a frog tongue extends, so does God's love for us. That's the best I've got right there. We'll go with that. I'll take whatever I can get. But I want you to remember, first and foremost, that God speaks to you in different ways. So for some of you, it may be a shepherd. For some of you, it may be a baseball player. For some of you, it may be a pen or something artistic. Or it may be something like music or a guitar. But that's the cool thing about God, is that there are so many different metaphors and similes and understanding. But guess what? The same love exists in each of them for each and every one of us. So that is why we can confidently proclaim, the Lord is my shepherd, the Lord is my Minecraft thing, shaping things, the Lord is my tiger, because he's fierce and he protects and he loves me. And we know God is taking care of it. Let's pray. Gracious God, we come before you and we want to thank these kids for their creativity and their spirit that they bring to this worship service. And just for reminding us how many different ways you speak to us and talk to us and find every single facet of our lives to be a part of our lives. We are so grateful for that, and remind these kids that you, God, are with them every step of the way. In your blessed and gracious name we pray. Amen. So we now turn our time and our attention to our message, as we try to transition from a lot of fun there. And we think about the 23rd Psalm. I'm sure many of you know this psalm by heart. You could recite it, or at the very least, you know exactly what part of the Bible the preacher is preaching from when he said, "The Lord is my shepherd." You go straight to the 23rd Psalm. And I think it's such a popular psalm. There are people who are atheists, who've never experienced Christianity, who know what the 23rd Psalm was. But the reason this is such a popular and beautiful psalm is the heartfelt nature of the biblical poetry that we hear. And that is why we always recite it at the funeral of loved ones, why we share it at important occasions in our lives. But it is important to remember that this passage is not just meant to be a funeral text. It's not just there to comfort the dying. But it should teach us some important things about living, about true, faithful Christian living. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Let's start there. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And I think all of us, we are born like five-year-olds in a grocery store, reaching and grabbing for everything we can get from the cart. I don't know if any of you have ever taken a five-year-old grocery shopping, but half of the grocery shopping is putting back in the cart what was put into it by a child sometimes, It can be an exhausting exercise, but all of us have gone through that at some point. But the question I want you to ponder today in your prayer life this week is this question. What do we truly want from life? What do I truly want from life? I want you to spend some time in prayer this week thinking about that question, talking to God about it. What do I truly want from life? Because the older we get, hopefully, the less we try to hold on to material things and we seek nobler things like happiness and contentment. The problem is, pursuing happiness for happiness' sake can be a maddening exercise. In the TV show Father Brown pointed out that the more we pursue happiness, the more it eludes us. I don't know if any of you have seen a 3 or 4 year old try to catch a skittish kitten or a puppy that does not want to be touched, and it does not go well because they keep chasing it and that cat keeps scurrying away. That's exactly what happens when we try to pursue happiness too much. When we try to just keep going after being happy. The harder we try, the more it eludes us. But Christ calls us to contentment in the here and now, in this moment. Can we find contentment in the present moment? Can we find contentment if our bank account or retirement fund never hits that safety net figure we have in our minds? Can we find contentment, this is a big one for me, if our stress level remains exactly the same that it is today? Can we find contentment? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That is not a conditional statement the psalmist is making. The psalmist does not say, I shall not want when I finally feel secure or happy, or I have all the wealth that I need to make me feel secure, or even when I have enough happiness, enough satisfaction, or a reputation that is honored, then I shall not want. The psalmist challenges us to be content with what we have today, right now. Because our contentment should not be found in raising the perfect family, building that perfect safety net, or even evaluating how fun or enriching our lives are or what other people think of us. Our contentment should be found in the fact that we have a Lord and Savior who compassionately and carefully watches over us, whether we are a king or a peasant in the eyes of others, God watches over each of us the same. We should rest safely in that contentment, knowing that Christ is with us. Furthermore, the psalmist tells us that the Lord restores our soul. The Lord restores our soul. I love that imagery. I love those words because it reminds us that we are all capable of new beginnings. Just on Twitter this past week, I saw a 70-year-old man who got his law degree for the first time, decided that he was going to be a lawyer for the first time in his life. First time to restore his soul at 70. It makes me think of 80 and 90-year-old rough and tough old men learning how to show affection to their kids and their grandkids for the first time. Their soul restoration right there. It makes me think of addicts who have struggled years and years with treatment, finally being able to take that first step towards sobriety, a soul being restored. And we often, as human beings, think we aren't capable of change until we see someone who's actually strong and faithful and courageous enough to do so. But when change does not happen often in our world, but when it does, it is incredibly meaningful and often uplifting. And I think restoration with God and our neighbors ties in with the other part of this passage, preparing a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Pastor Rob McCoy said something in my readings this week that really got me thinking. He said, God prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. That's what the 23rd Psalm says. But what if it is a table for one? What if it is a table for one? What if the enemy is within? What if it's within us? And think about it. Because for, I think, 99% of us, the greatest enemy that we will face in our lifetime will be ourselves. It will be our self-doubt. It will be our fear. It will be our pride. It will be our lack of self-esteem, thinking we're never good enough to deserve the good things in life. It'll be the voice within us telling us that no matter what we do, it won't be good enough. And we have to remind ourselves, there can be no restoration of our souls with God if we do not make peace with the enemy within, if we do not make peace with ourselves. And the greatest trick the devil can play on us is getting us to believe that the peace of our soul is dependent on the action of other people. That we're not capable of going to God. We're not capable of going to our neighbors to help restore our souls. We have to remember that we are not powerless. In fact, if there are times we find ourselves saying, I will be at peace with God when my friends or family members come to me and ask forgiveness for the wrong they have done. How many of you have lost a friendship or a relationship for 5, 10, 20, maybe even more years because you're still waiting on that phone call? Excuse me. Or I will be at peace when others cause less stress, problems, or drama in my life. We feed into the false narrative that will lead us down the wrong path. Because guess what, people? Good luck to you if you think you are going to find a day when people cause you less stress. I wish you well when that day comes, because I don't think it's ever going to happen. We're naturally stressful on each other. But we've also realized the paradox is how much we need each other these 14 months. We need these relationships, but they do not come without baggage. So if we want to restore our souls with God and with others, we have to make changes in our lives. It was President Obama who said it like this: change will not come if we wait for some other person or some other time. We are the ones we've been waiting for. We are the change we seek. We are the change we seek. We need to remember that. If we want to restore our souls with God and with others, we have to be the ones willing to make the changes. We have to be accountable for our actions. We have to let go of our resentments, our grudges, our compulsive need to win arguments instead of build relationships. We have to be the first one to say, I'm sorry, I screwed up, I want to fix this relationship. Don't be the person sitting there waiting, because it's not going to happen. We have to be willing to take each and every one of these burdens we carry, these heavy burdens that we are carrying, and we have to have the strength and the courage to lay them at the feet of the cross. We have to come to Jesus with each and every one of our burdens. That's not somebody else's job. That's our job. That's our opportunity. So living out our faith is how we make the last words of this psalm a reality. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. There is no secret to happiness. If we want goodness and mercy to come to us, we have to be good disciples of Jesus. We have to be merciful to other people. The best thing, advice you can have, if you want mercy from other people in your life, show mercy to others. And we have to put aside our materialistic wants. the 2021 car we want, the $500,000 house, all those things that we want and think we need. We have to be willing to look past that and be happy with what we have. Be satisfied. And we have to learn to confront our inner demons. If you can't love yourself, you can't love other people. So appreciate the person that God created, because each of you have been uniquely and wonderfully made by God. God spent time on each of us, and every single one of us have a purpose to serve. So when you hear a voice telling you internally that you can't, don't listen to it. Listen to God, your creator, your master. And we have to learn that restoration with God and others involves accountability on our parts and on our behalf. And we have to be the one willing to make the first step when it comes to reconciliation in our lives. And I'm sure many of you have been wounded and you feel like it should be the other person's job. But show people how strong forgiveness and reconciliation can be. Because if we truly want to dwell in the house of the Lord, if we truly want to be comfortable in God's place, this is the work we are called to do. We are called to serve. We are called to love. We are called to recognize our own demons, our own inadequacies, and we are called to come forth and bring each and every one of them to the cross, where we will find Jesus leading us as our shepherd exactly where we need to be. In that time, in that place, in that moment, we will know what it will be like to have our souls restored. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, we come before you, and I just want to say thank you for the church that is gathered here today. I'm just so grateful that each and every one of us can call us your shepherd. Some of us are physically in our homes. Some of us are virtually present. But help us to know that you, God, are with us. And we have a lot of work to do as disciples. But first and foremost, we know that we can come to you with each and every one of our burdens. We know that you are a grateful shepherd watching over your flock. So help us to trust in you and know that the labor we do for you is labor and love that will lead us to a better and more faithful and fulfilling place. In your name we pray. Amen. At this time, we will hear our final hymn, Savior Like a Shepherd Leave Us, and then we will have our benediction after that. And for those of you that are in person, we will have a special song that will be shared by one of our youth as well after that. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, amen. I want to thank those of you that have joined us virtually and those of you that have joined us in person. And we want to wish you all a wonderful and blessed, beautiful Sunday. Amen. Good. Okay. For those of you who are with us in person, actually, you're all with us in person since our recording is off. What we are going to have now is an opportunity for Tyler to give us a gracious performance. It is one of my favorite Disney songs, You Got a Friend in Me, and that is one of the reasons we can't record right now is because we do not own the Disney copyright to this song, so we're not going to be able to put that on Facebook Live. But as Tyler is getting ready, oh my goodness, I wanted to share with you a little reminder because I think this song is perfect for what we were talking about last week. If you remember John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, than he who lays down his life for his friends. So when you think about this song that Tyler's going to sing for us, You Got a Friend in Me, remember Christ and his ability to give friendship to each and every one of us. And this song is very simplistic, but it reminds me of how deep love can go, and it is one of my favorite songs, and one of the reasons Toy Story 1 to 3 always gets me crying at some point, because it's just, there's a lot of good deep theology in it. You need any more practice time? Are you ready to roll? Good, okay. Take it away, Tyler. Good job, Tyler. Great job. Wonderful job. You are so composed up there. You look like Aaron Rodgers on a Sunday afternoon.
You mean the X Factor?
Hey now. You know, I think we're going to take 45 minutes of prayer right now just for that. Thank you all for joining us this wonderful Sunday. We'll now take some time to dismiss. And once again, I'm just so grateful for all of you here that we are able to worship at this time. Pasquinelli's, go ahead.